is Dave Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Scott Weiler. Scott is a fractional CMO and board advisor. We met when he was the CMO of one of my clients. And at one point in his career, he was CMO of a major hotel chain. And at I read you had a $100 million marketing budget. Scott, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you.
Yes, $100 million. Was that fun to spend or super stressful?
Probably a little of both, as you can imagine. The larger the budget gets, the more hands that are in the pot, and so there's a lot more to the spending, and you're doing a lot of different programs and a lot of different campaigns that touch a lot of different channels. So it's not as fun. It's not like you had a big pot and you can say, "What am I going to buy today?"
Yeah, so that would be amazing. So that would be fun for another conversation, but we had talked about an issue in marketing and in organizations that we wanted to focus on today. And the issue is about setting priorities. And I think this is a fascinating subject because organizations and marketers have so many opportunities and it's just easy to get lost and confused. And so the question I wanted to start with today was, how do you set priorities to make the greatest impact?
Yeah, priorities is a fun topic. We marketers hopefully are very involved in the process. And oftentimes, I mean, certainly in my past, if you're at a chief marketing officer level, you're often charged with leading the process, the structure, and ultimately the outcome of organizational prioritization, right? What's interesting in in the prior 3 years since I kind of left the corporate world and have been doing consulting, honestly, David, every engagement I do, no matter how narrowly or broadly focused it is for clients in the last 3 years, involves a relook at strategy. Even organizations that think they've done a great job. Yeah, we have a strategy. Here it is. Look at this pretty PowerPoint presentation that we have. So this is our strategy. And it's often not as actionable, or it gets old very quick, and the organization hasn't put in place structure to keep the team on the tracks and deal with a lot of decision making. So prioritization is a fascinating topic, and usually when I get into it with a new organization, I really start at the beginning with, how do you set priorities? In many ways, it's the easiest part of it because we've all had some training setting SMART goals. There's fun acronyms for it, but you really have to start in the beginning with a team, with a CEO, with a founder, with a head of marketing, and work your way through to kind of a simple roadmap for prioritization, and then a simple way of managing it.
So we'll talk more about, you know, how to do that. But let's first talk a little bit about the why. You know, why do people get off track? Why is it that, it seems like it should all start with the strategy. It seems like an organization or marketing team should really start with the strategy. But we often focus on, like, how do we organize our action items, or how do we get things done today? And we lose track of, like, why, or what, you know, the connection to the strategy. And a lot of your role is kind of keeping us on track. But why do you think that is? Why do you think we lose connection to the strategy or what it's all really about?
I think it's there's a lot of rub in the middle of where strategy, you know, lives and breathes and comes to life, right? So at the very highest level, you've got mission, vision, right? That should set your North Star. That should set where the organization is going, what we want to be when we grow up, so to speak. On the other end of the spectrum is the day-to-day, the trenches, the daily, call it daily decisions that need to be made, call it the thousand little cuts at something that are constantly trying to derail the organization. So what I found, I found this in my corporate life, as well as now my consulting life, is it's in the middle that you get a little bit lost, because if maybe the organization set a good mission, good vision, Certainly, hopefully they know their values. So you know kind of what we're about, where we're heading, right? At least annually, we usually do a good job of putting a strategy or revising our strategy and kind of putting it on paper. But then there's 365 days that follow. And, you know, there's new ideas that come up. Some are good, some aren't so good. There's problems with the tactics against the strategies that we agreed on in January, or worst case, by the end of the first quarter, depending upon how disciplined the organization is. So all of these things are constantly nipping at the ankles of this great strategy that you put in place. And if you don't have a strong and simplified model, you're really destined to kind of fall off the tracks. And that's usually what I find. Companies start with a decent strategy. Maybe the programs and tactics and departmental strategies that are in support of the enterprise strategy, you know, maybe they're fairly aligned at the beginning of the year, but really quickly they get off. And it's usually, you know, when somebody tells me, yeah, we have a strategy, take a look at this 52-page PowerPoint. I'm like, oh, you're dead and you're toast. Unless you have a team that all they do is keep that strategy on track, there's no chance you're going to execute against that. It's too complicated.
So you've worked with large companies and small companies and midsize. Is it easier for the big companies to stay focused on strategy because they've got discipline and process around it? Is it easier for the small companies to stay focused on strategy because they've got, you know, fewer people to align, and maybe the owner or the CEO has got some skin in the game and they're focused on things? Or is it just very based on people?
It's a great question. I don't actually have an answer, because, you know, having lived in larger organizations, we tend to point the other way. Well, it's easier for a lean, small, you know, early stage, early growth company, because they're only dealing with 20, 30 people in the entire organization, right? It must be really easy to stay aligned, right? And the small companies say, well, yeah, we don't have a BPO, we don't have a project management, we don't, you know, we have to manage our own projects and our own time, keep ourselves on track. So it's much easier for the big company to do it. In reality, it's, you know, we're human beings, and so we deal with the same things. You know, we get, call it organizational ADHD. We get distracted and then lose our way, and it's the process and discipline, at regardless of the size, it's the process and discipline that kind of keeps you on track, and probably a bit of cultural awareness. You know, are you a culture that not only says you value honesty in communication? You know, I'm authorized, and not only authorized, I'm encouraged to say to my boss, whoever that is in the organization, I don't think that's a great idea. I don't think that helps us get to, you know, these priorities or these strategic imperatives that we've set. And that's hard. We all don't do that very well.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes bosses don't receive that very well, right?
And sometimes, so that's very true.
That could happen as well. Well, let's take this apart a little bit and just understand maybe the process of setting priorities and setting that strategy, and then, you know, how to keep from getting derailed. You know, first of all, what's really worked for you in the organizations you've been part of in setting the strategy? Is it those annual offsites? Is it the big PowerPoint deck? Is it having clear vision from the, you know, the founder or the CEO? You know, what is the process of setting the strategy and setting the priorities that's really worked well?
Well, the thing I always start with is it's kind of getting back to basics, and you really have to start with what's most important, and that's literally when I put on paper a discussion I'm leading, a presentation I'm doing, a coaching of a CEO or whomever. I have pages that literally start with what's most important, those three words. And I kind of force the people I'm dealing with to kind of really walk me through. It's not about what I think. I'm here to help you, yeah, whether I'm inside an organization or I'm just helping an organization. So what's most important to you? How do you measure something is driving highest value for the organization? How does that directly link to defined goals that you've set, that you keep setting year in, year out? You're a chief whatever in your organization. You've got defined goals for sure. We all do. Somebody owns us, somebody's our boss, and somebody's requiring us to have, you know, specific, measurable, blah, blah, blah. We've got SMART goals. And so that's the how we're marching. So great. So explain those to me. And then let's talk about how do we prioritize against those at an organizational level, at a divisional or business unit level. So I really like to spend time on, you know, kind of up on the whiteboard or up on the chalkboard, you know, what's important. You know, and I make people tell me exactly what they are. And then my job is to kind of challenge it a little bit, because oftentimes they're like, oh yeah, yeah, you're what, and what's your three? It's, you know, it's Curly from City Slickers, right? It's what, you know, what's, I, you can't really get away with what's the one thing, but I'll say, all right, well, but let's say what are the three things? Hmm. And then I draw a bright line, because they keep going. No one has ever, in all the years I've done this, people that work for me, people I work for, people that are a client of mine, I've never had anyone right out of the box when I say, tell me what's most important. I could never stop at three. So I'm like, all right, for right now, we'll do a dotted line, and then I'll let you keep going. And then we're going to go back and force rank this. And I'm mm-hmm. going to force you to end up with three. It might be three of 12, but in that, and as you probably know, that's the beginning of what will become one of the steps in prioritization, which is, you know, valuing and ranking. And then you start to get into the discussion of, okay, so if you're only going to let me have three, what happens with numbers 4, 5, and 6, let alone 7 through 12?
Right.
And that's where it really gets fun.
Because it's really hard to set strategies and tactics for 12 goals when, you know, really the top three things are so important. So getting the goals right and getting the strategies aligned toward those goals right is so important, right? And getting that focus. And you find that in the organizations that you work with, that those things can last for a year or years when you get them right, or do they last for a week? Or how do you kind of stay in that mode where you're aligned on what those top three things are?
Yeah, the DNA of the organization, and usually the leader or leaders, is really what's going to set how long, and maybe a bit of the industry, a bit of the maturity of the organization itself, their go to market or commercial strategy and execution. But that said, my approach to it is to kind of keep it simple. And when we get to kind of part two of your question of how you start to, you know, break apart prioritization as a fundamental and as a process, and how you make it more operational, it's really simplicity is my mantra. You know, I can go through the basics, and we'll start to talk about some tools and where you have rubs, right? But you really have to keep it simple. So, you know, how do you keep it on track? Well, you know, the priorities are as good as when you've put them on paper, right? And there's a lot of factors that will determine how much do they need to change. What's most important is you set a discipline for when are you allowed to change them? Because you got to start with these are the three, and they will be supported at the expense of everything else until we decide we need to reprioritize. And that's fine. That happens. So the way I keep it simple is say, let's start with quarterly. Everybody operates in a quarterly model. Whether you're private or public, we all live and breathe quarterly rhythm. Right. So quarterly, we're going to have an official process. We're going to check in and we're going to say, are these still the top three? Are these still the middle four? What, you know, whatever it is, and kind of go from there.
So quarterly is a really good pace to kind of make sure you're on track. And let's now shift gears and talk about what do you do when you get distracted? So, and I imagine that lots of things can happen, especially in marketing, that distract you. New opportunities, this new growth hack comes around. There's this new technology. There's AI. There's a sales rep who's got this new thing. There's, well, you missed your sales goals. Sales are unhappy. Mm-hmm. This marketing campaign didn't work. Your KPIs aren't on track. So there's all kinds of things that can distract you from executing the priorities that you want to. How do you take all of that information that's coming at you in so many ways, whether it's, you know, sales reps, data, people, sales, and stay aligned on the priorities?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that's important in the level setting, the educational, the training part of it, the fundamentals, if you will, you know, when you're going into setting priorities, there's a lot of ways to do it, but most models and most approaches involve kind of two factors that one focuses on: urgency and importance. And if you put them in a nice little chart with four boxes, you have high and low of each. And so that's a good way of kind of getting started with, you know, what's most important should be trumping. But there's also a level of urgency. Most important can be over the next three quarters, or a most important can have an urgency level that's over the next 3 weeks, or it's no good to focus on it, right? Because you've got a particular event you're trying to support or whatever it is, right? It's time-based. But you have to start with that. And then as these things come up that are derailers, and they could be for a very good reason, and sometimes they're not a good reason, you have to go back to your fundamentals of how you set your priorities to begin with. And just because it's urgent doesn't mean it's important. And oftentimes that is one of the big derailers. It's like, oh, well, it's urgent. Sometimes it's urgent because somebody put it on the back of a napkin, and there's a reason why there's urgency, and it's time-based. And so, but there's a relative importance to it, but a lot of times it's not, it's just somebody had an idea, and that's great. Ideas are good. You always want to foster, you know, new ideas and brainstorming, but that doesn't mean you act on them. You got to have a discipline, or you will constantly be chasing new ideas, and you'll never get back to the focus on the top three things that you spent time setting as your priorities.
And as a CMO, when you're acting in that capacity, is that one of the primary roles of the CMO? Is kind of getting that focus between the organizational strategy and the marketing, you know, alignment in the marketing organization? Is that kind of that priority setting and deciding what's important and what's urgent?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I have usually found it has been. I mean, it certainly has been with me. Now, it depends on who's at the helm of an organization. And you know, you've got CEOs who at times are really the rock for this kind of process of, you know, of setting, reaching and setting great priorities, but being disciplined about, you know, saying no when one has to. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, you get distracted and derailed because people at the top and all the way down through the ecosystem aren't willing to say no, either no, never, or no, not now, because we have all these other priorities. But, you know, it's the old parking lot, but let's put it on a parking lot. Or depending upon how big of an organization you have, this is where you do have a difference between smaller and larger companies. So you can start with three priorities, but, you know, when I was a chief marketer with a team north of 50 people, well, guess what? I mean, my top of the marketing organization priorities, I can set, here's my top three and here's whatever comes below the line. But across my organization, I mean, I can obviously handle a lot more than that because I got 50 people. So the digital team might have a slightly different set of priorities that are in support of what I've set as my priorities, but they're not going to be exactly the same, and they'll have some additions. And, you know, likewise with the PR comms team, and likewise with field marketing, whatever your organizational structure is. But at the end of the day, I mean, because it does bring up the thing I constantly say to people, the hardest thing in the world to keep your team on track is to be able to say no. And you can't always say no, but it's a lot easier to say yes than it is to say no.
Yeah. And with so many things coming at you all the time, you've got to say no in order to focus on what's important. How do you you know, let's say you're a younger marketer who's kind of come up in the ranks and you've kind of had your first manager job and maybe you're in a director role and you're moving toward that CMO role. How do you get good at this process of setting priorities? I love the model that you shared about urgency and importance, but how do you get training on that or get good at that job? Because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, kind of want to be in the leadership role, but they're kind of used to just doing what they're told to do. And they've got to become people who can make these decisions about what's important and what's urgent and think about strategy. How do you get good at that?
Well, there's a kind of a logic to it that I find is not hard, but you just have to, if you know what, you're a brand new director of whatever, or you're a brand new manager, you have a small team, you've got multiple priorities, you've got a little bit of budget, right? So to your example, you just, you know, moved into a new role where now you're not executing someone's strategy, you're trying to create strategy. Back to what I said before, keep it simple. Start as simply as you can. I have coached my people that I have either hired or inherited, but it's my responsibility to make them as good as they can possibly be. I coach everyone on keep it as simple as you can. Start with boxes. For prioritization, I actually happen to have a whole model that I've developed, and it's mostly what I've developed it over the years in the corporations I work for. Now I use it with clients. But begin with the end in mind, the end is the one page strategy. So strategy, no matter how complicated, it fits on one single piece of paper. If it doesn't, it doesn't mean there isn't supporting material that might be behind it. But if you can't put your enterprise strategy, your departmental team, your marketing team with a small budget and small team, can't put it all on one piece of paper, the odds are you will never be able to really execute against it day in, day out, week in, week out. So I really start with that. And then it's, okay, if that's what we're trying to get to, how do we get from here, which is, I think in my head, I've put on paper what I think are my top three priorities in a relative rank order that comes below the line. Now, how do I connect the dot between that, my high-level priorities, and a one-page strategy? You just start breaking it down into boxes. And in my model, it kind of takes each one. All right, you've got three, priority one, two, and three. We're going to describe it. We're going to assign what we think is the value to it, team value, enterprise value. We're going to say, what do we think we need to do to make that happen? What's the timing? Any gaps or needs, right? So it's very simple for one priority. You got maybe five or six boxes below it. Now you move on to the next one. And if it's helpful, especially as you start to fill in the boxes, you start to get unclear, wow, there's a lot of gaps or needs for priority three that I rank ordered above priority four. Now I've done the same process for four and five, let's say the next two below the line. There's not as many gaps. I think my value is slightly lower on four, but boy, it looks like I can really execute against it much better. I got a better chance of actually achieving that one. Well, great. Change your order. Wow. And involve the other people that you need to involve.
It sounds like a really powerful model that can help organizations stay on track. You know, it's so funny especially in today's marketing world, there are just so many things coming at you all the time that if you don't have this discipline, this structure, this model, as you've described, it feels like you're going to get off track all the time. I guess we see that with clients all the time. We're chasing the new shiny thing. So are we doing, you know, let's take advertising. Are we doing Google ads? Should we do Bing ads? Should we do Reddit ads? Should we do Facebook, Instagram? Let's, you know, and maybe all those are important, but there's always a new shiny object in marketing to chase. And having the model, having the priorities, having the structure in place to make good decisions there is really key.
I had a client in one of the business units, the priority business unit for this company. I walked him through this model and kind of kept following up and helped him fill it out. Because when it started, he's like from a vertical solution and vertical priority, right? At a business unit level, what are your products or solutions? What are the vertical markets you're going after? The combination of just those two things makes a grid that is very intimidating when you put that all on paper, right? So we're kind of going back to this model of what do I prioritize, or a combination of a solution and an individual vertical market. Let's say that's a priority, the combination of those two things. And now this particular SBU head said, okay, great. So he went through the process of putting those all on a spreadsheet. Well, the spreadsheet, when you define each as a unique priority, was 25 columns wide.
Hmm.
So then we go back to, all right, if you were forced to pick three, you can maybe execute against 8 or 10 based on the way we've defined priorities here. And it's fine. We don't have to get too myopic about it, but so how would you do that? And we went through the process, and he said afterwards, we literally ended up with things that he and his team were focused on that were way out to the right. We cut 40% of what he was looking at.
Hmm.
Just by forcing him to put it all on paper and really break it down into small pieces. Some of them ended up coming back in, but other things then reprioritized. But at least he started with a different way of looking at priority that's not just, you know, kind of the TAM as the gold standard. Well, there's this total addressable market opportunity and it looks gigantic. Yeah, it may, but you know, when you go through this, it's the same five boxes. When you go through the things that it's not just there's an opportunity, but can I actually execute against it?
Mm.
Or what are the gaps or needs? What are the things in the way? And oftentimes it's, you know, we have no evidence of actually being able to achieve this one. So, you know, it can't be top three if you can't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta succeed here.
Yeah. Focus is so important. Setting priorities. I love the model that you talked about, Scott. It's a very powerful process. So this has been an amazing conversation. I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts about this.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's a fun topic.
It is. Yeah. So if people want to connect with you and learn more about your model or working with you, what's the best way to reach you?
They can send me a note at scott@weilerconsulting.co. There's no M on the end. I was a little too late to get the .com. Or certainly I'm on LinkedIn. So probably easiest for most people is just look me up on LinkedIn.
Great. And we'll put a link in the on the podcast page as well.
Terrific. Yeah, happy to help. It's even if you know, even if you think this kind of model is interesting for your team, your organization, it's fun to share and help people along. It doesn't have to be a big engagement necessarily.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would want to talk to you about it. So thanks again for taking the time today.
Very fun. Thanks, David. Good to see you.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one.